It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Oh, I feel good now. Welcome. Welcome to the next room. It's always a pleasure when I get to open up the microphone and come out in my studio. Puppy is sleeping at my feet. We took an extra long smell of the neighborhood today, which a good friend, my friend Nancy, told me taking a dog for a walk for you is, you know, you're out there, you want to get exercise. But for a dog, it's like they're reading the newspaper. You know, they're smelling every bush. And when I first started walking her, I would try to get exercise and kind of hurry her along. And then I realized, Jane, it's not about you. Let the puppy read the newspaper. So we took an extra long smell of the neighborhood today. So she's wiped out. She's curled up on my feet, which is beautiful. And when you invite a guest on the show and you have a conversation beforehand, because we had some things we needed to clarify, and then that guest says to you, before we start, is it okay if we take 7 deep cleansing breaths? And I said, oh, it's better than okay. So that's why I felt so good when I cracked open the mic. My guest today is Reverend Jennifer Comier, and she is a grief coach. She supports families that are moving through those huge life transitions. And I don't know about you, but just in the past week, I lost a classmate from high school. My sister lost a classmate from her class. She's a little bit older than I am. And then my oldest sister lost a classmate and very dear friend and kind of a mover and shaker in this small rural town that we're from. And it sort of stunned everyone, you know, kind of like, what? What's going on? So, Jennifer, the last time you came on the show, we were talking about your dad and his passing and the life-changing experience that you had of him dying in your living room. So first of all, welcome back to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for having me again, Jane. It's really a pleasure.
Well, I'm happy you're here because I want to talk to you about you do so many interesting things, but you're onto a new path. You've launched a new business. You've got a great private Facebook group called Grief and Grace, which we're going to share that link through the producer on the page. But then if you want to join, you'll need to let her know because it is private. And I think that's important with grief a lot of times. There's public pages, too. But Jennifer, I know that you have your reasons for keeping it private. And you also have we'll put a link up to book a session with you, a grief breakthrough session. Let's talk about what you're doing now. What exactly is Grief and Grace?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on and asking, Jane. So this work that I've been doing currently really stemmed out of my own grief walk after my dad died. So when I was on last time, we really talked about my really unique experience during my father's passing, because he died at home in the living room, and I was able to hold his hand and really experience just so much love in that passing. So, you know, we spoke about that last time, and I wanted to talk to you today about how I got into this grief work that I'm in now. My dad really, really guided me to this work for sure. It's been 8 years since he died, and after he died, I really was in a place of, gosh, you know, we failed at this healing journey thing because I had moved home from Oregon with 2 suitcases, you know, when I found out he had a stage 4 cancer diagnosis. And, you know, this scientist that was my dad, who was really, you know, all about PSA numbers and cancer research, had this cancer file. He went through this journey that they gave him originally 3 months to live, and it turned into, okay, well, maybe you got 1 to 3 years. And we had 3 years together, and when I had first moved back, he had this, you know, he still owned his own business, and he was doing all this cancer research, and he said, Jen, you know, it's getting me more and more depressed every time I open up this cancer file and look at these numbers. It's so bleak. You know, my numbers are so high. It's just, the more research he did, he had less and less hope. So I really helped him. You know, I brought back to him my 20 years of experience as a healing practitioner, right? And I said, Dad, what if you change that? I'm curious. What if you change the label on that file to a healing file instead of a cancer file? You know, and he said, oh, wow, you know, that's a great idea. Let me do that. And that just was a perspective shift for him. And it, and instead of beating the cancer and, you know, beating the cancer file, you know, he turned in from a Platonian scientist, you know, show me the numbers, to someone who was really open to the realm of quantum physics and possibility and healness and wholing. And that was really our father-daughter journey. And we got closer in those last 3 years of his life than we had ever been. And I'm so grateful that we had that time. But what I want to really speak to today is to all of those people that are listening who are the caregivers, who are the daughters, the partners, you know, the family members of that person maybe who has a terminal diagnosis, who is dying or who just died. And, you know, what happened to me was, what was my purpose after he died? Because my purpose had been for 3 years this healing journey with my dad. Now he had just died, and now what? You know, now what? And, you know, I had never been in such a heavy place. And what I realized was, I needed help, and I reached out, and I just encourage everyone out there who's really struggling to, number one, reach out for help. You know, and there are so many different ways to get assistance, and I can offer that mentorship, that support to people, to my clients. But if it's not with me, with somebody, because what's possible is to really be able to move through that heaviness into a place that feels lighter, that feels free of guilt. You know, I've talked to people who say, you know, my son died, you know, 20-something years ago, and now I still feel like I'm carrying a bag of bricks around.
Wow.
I still feel like I have this hole in my center, right? And I just want to tell those people that still feel like, gosh, I'm still feeling depressed. I'm still suffering from grief, and I should be over it, right? It's been this long. It's been years, and I should have gotten on with my life. And to those people, I want to say that in our culture, we don't honor that grief process as a teacher. And that's the perspective shift that I got when, after my dad died and I was so heavy, I called up Lewis and Barb, who are two really dear teachers and mentors to me. And I said, you know, what do I do? You know, what do I do? And they suggested to me, they said, you know, you can dance, you can sing, you can drum. You know, at that moment, I couldn't do that yet. I just couldn't. But what they gave me in that moment was a perspective shift. And they said, the traditional way is to really look at grief as a teacher.
As a what?
As a teacher.
Okay.
Let grief be a teacher and walk with it for a full year. So you take grief by the hand and you walk through, and the reason why it's a year is you're going to walk through all of the seasons, all of the milestones,
mm-hmm.
all of the birthdays, all of the, and you allow the grief to teach you, so that grief is not just sadness and heavy, but there's also a little bit of wonder and a little bit of curiosity, you know, that comes with that grief. And when they said that to me, they said, you know, try walking with grief as your teacher for a year. And at the end of the year, we can hold a soul releasing ceremony for you and your family.
Wow.
And when I heard that, it gave me, I got a little bit lighter, and I got a little bit of relief when I heard them say that, because, you know, first of all, it gave me a new purpose, because I had, you know, I feel like I had failed. My dad died, and my healing journey with him is now over. That was a 3-year thing. And now what?
Mm-hmm.
Now I had this space open up where I could kind of stand on new ground and have a tangible thing that I could do. Because there's, you know, when there's a terminal illness, there's no control in this situation. It feels like you're out of control. So I had a way forward. And I also had a container of time. And this made my life livable at the beginning, and it gave me a new purpose. And I was now the main actor in my own life. And I was going to walk this year to honor not only him, but both of us, our relationship, not only his life and death, but also to honor my life and my process after he was gone. And what I discovered was this grief wasn't just dark and hard and tragic, but it was also filled with that, with curiosity and with beauty and with love. And that was my discovery.
Mm. Oh, that's good. You know, look at it as a teacher. And I love take the grief by the hand and go for a walk and go through all those milestones. You know, how is it that, like you said, in our society, we don't really honor the grieving process. It's sort of like, oh, you should be over that already. You know, or why are you still sad after 5 years? You know, what can we do to try to shift that awareness that it is okay and that it's really important to, you know, move through that heaviness by honoring the grief?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the first step is realizing that it is okay, because that resistance that we have to those painful feelings is what makes them continue on for years and years, because we don't try to end. And I feel like we don't have a lot of examples of other people, mentors, people that went before us that did that. You know, our culture has, you know, we have a funeral maybe, and, you know, there's some different traditions, but in general, we're just supposed to get over it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, just welcoming that there is pain. Right, and that there is that is what's there, but it doesn't have to be a sustained suffering. And the one thing that I want to say about that, because I have a little bit of a different, a little bit of a unique take on grief, because I come from a background as an artist and also as a therapeutic doctor. Right, I've got 20 years in healing work in the body. And what I've noticed, I spent some time in different bereavement groups, and the folks that are really still suffering years and years later, the one commonality I'm noticing is that they don't have an awareness of their physical body as an integral part of their process. So I just want to explain what I mean by that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, please explain.
Please explain, yeah. So what I mean by that, we have our stories that live mostly in our minds, right? They also live in the body. And we have grief is just overflowing of intense emotion, right? There's a lot of emotion coming out of our mm-hmm. heart. So we're feeling this emotion, and we're either telling ourselves a story and we're pushing that emotion away, or we're telling ourselves a story and we're feeding that emotion like a fire, right? We're fanning it so it gets bigger. And one key element to move through grief, I know, as a healing body worker, is to actually move that energy and that emotion through the whole body. So the folks I've talked to that have had a lot of success in moving through their grief, they've actually physically moved through their grief. So I'll just give you my personal example of that. So at the beginning of that year of, okay, I have this perspective shift. I have this support from my mentors. I'm gonna walk with my grief for a year. And that felt like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. So at the beginning of that year, what I did, it's great that you opened up the call, Jane, with talking about taking your dog for a walk. We had a rescue dog. So my dad got a rescue dog during his healing journey named Daisy. And she was half lab and half greyhound. So she looked like a lab, but she was super sleek and so fast. And it was her nature to run. So when we're really stuck in a place of depression, it's easy to just stay inside, right? And to stay immobile, just be heavy, physically heavy, right? And you know, if you think about a depressed person, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, TV on, lights off, sitting on the couch a lot, right?
Right.
So when you have a dog, you know, because you just took your dog out for this long walk this morning, they have to go outside.
Yes.
Because they have to pee. So you can't just stay inside with the dog. You have to let him out. If you have a yard and a little dog that just can go outside to pee, that's great. But we had this rescue dog that had to go run. So I had to take her to the woods. And that was something that my dad and Daisy and I would do a lot over the years. We'd go to the woods so that she could go off leash.
Sure.
In Connecticut, and she could run in circles fast, right? In this grief walk, was literally walking, literally going outside, being in nature, which is healing, and moving my body, walking that same loop through the woods that three of us used to walk on. And that movement and getting in nature is so important. And those are two key gateway grace in my year-long program that I walk people through is moving the body and getting out in nature. And that both of those things are so healing.
I love that. So when you, okay, so if somebody books a grief breakthrough session, do you recommend that they work with you for an entire year, or do you show them how to work through this and they can do it on their own? How does that work?
Yeah, so I recommend that people get sustained support over time, because moving through grief and walking with grief really is a process. And it takes a full year, at least, you know, but in so many different traditions, that year marker is so important, because you really do all of those holidays and all of those seasons.
Sure.
So that's why for me, a year was so essential and so important. And when I completed that year from November, and I had a ceremony releasing that year, and I was witnessed, and I had community, and I had been, having that container of the year, and also having support in community is so important. So that's what I'm going to recommend for folks, is that they do that time. And opening up doors to a program starting November 15th is when people can start with me, and we'll start officially with a group on December 1st. And we're going to walk with each other. So I'll hold space individually one-on-one for people, but they'll also get the support of a community of people that understand what they're going through, or understand something similar, right?
Right.
Because
I love that.
What happens is so many people have, you know, they go out in the world and their colleagues at work. Right now with COVID, we're not interacting with that many people, right? Or we're doing...
Right.
Folks ask you, I just remember it became a study that I had in this year-long grief walk was people would ask, you know, how are you doing? You know, how are you doing? And it was just like how to answer that question, because I would get asked it all the time, and you could feel people's, you know, sympathy and remorse and their own grief in it. and there really was no good answer, right? Like, am I just going to say I'm fine? Like, well, my dad died and I'm grieving. You know?
Right.
People, you know, people don't really know. We need to be educated. Like, how do we support somebody who had someone really close to them die? Like, it's really not helpful to be like, how are you? What can I do? You know, it's like, I don't really know how to answer how I am. And I don't really know, I can't really think to tell you what to do.
Right.
You know, so it's hard. Even those people that really love us, our dear friends, sometimes they just don't know how to show up for us because they haven't been there. And we don't, you know, we don't receive that truly deep support and that deep listening and that being understood and seen that we really need when we're going through grief.
Well, and they don't also, you know, in everyone's defense, no one has that connection with the soul that has crossed other than you. Right. Even in your own family, you know, I lost an older sister and, you know, my grief over losing Lynn is much different than my siblings' grief over losing her because of that individual connection that you have. So it is really difficult. What do you say? I do feel, though, when you've moved through great loss, which I've had I've had quite a bit for being a young woman. You do, at least I am super aware when someone needs something, and usually it's just quiet. It's that support. It's sending an old school card in the mail, which I think really needs to come back. Just to say, I'm here if you ever need an ear. You need a shoulder. You want to talk and reminisce. I'm here. I'll listen. And I think that's one of the things I've noticed is that instead of people telling you how they dealt with their grief, if you could just shut it down and just listen to what they have to say so that they feel like they have somewhere to, you know, somebody that's holding that space for them, showing up.
Absolutely. And just feeling that sacred witness.
Right.
Being witnessed is so important.
Yep.
Having, and that's what I do, you know, holding that sacred witness container that you can be held and you can be witnessed with no judgment, no expectation, and to show up fully, all of yourself, however that looks on any day.
I like that. Yeah. Holding that sacred witness container. That's good. Okay, so coming up, so this is it's October now. This is coming up in December. People can actually join you for this grief breakthrough session. And then they not only will work with you, but they also have the support of a community that is grieving as well and that is going through a similar, you know, situation. Is that, did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. So folks that, you know, they might resonate with something that came up on this call, or they resonate with me. They know that they need some kind of support and they're not sure. Often people don't know exactly what they need or what's out there, what kind of support. I'm offering to your listeners, I'm going to open up my schedule this week for grief and based 30-minute breakthrough sessions. So, just to have a little bit of space where they can come on and I will listen and you can feel heard and understood and just share, like, what's the most challenging bit? What's the most painful piece that you're carrying right now? Or what is it that you're struggling with? What is it that you're yearning for? And just, you know, take 15 minutes to really be heard, because some people have those friends that have sent that card that says, I'm here for you, you know, an ear or shoulder. And some people, you know, they don't have that, or that person's busy, or, you know, so just to have a space where, and then also it's nice sometimes to have that third party person that doesn't know your history. They
yes.
don't know your friends, don't know
right.
your family. They're completely neutral, right?
Right,
out
absolutely.
Of your social network.
Yes.
Listen, and that's why therapists, you know, that's why we have therapists and mentors. And that's why that work is so powerful, because they're not attached to your
right.
your community, and we don't carry the same opinions about
right.
your family, you know.
Sure.
We don't have the same storyline. So to just have that that space to be heard, to be understood.
I love it.
And then I can give, I've got a, because I did this walk myself, I've sat back and created a framework of these seven grace gateways to walking with grief. And how I picture it, Jane, is it's like a labyrinth, right? Grief
mm-hmm.
is not a straight line. It's not a straight walk. So we move through it and we think we're done, and then there's a turn and we go backwards and then we go forwards, and, you know, we can't really orient to know where we are in it. And then at some point, if we keep walking, we end up in the center. And the center of a labyrinth, not everybody knows, is unconditional love, is what lives in the center of a labyrinth. And I imagine these gateways as gateways around the labyrinth. And sometimes we walk through, we need movement. Sometimes we need sacred witnessing. Sometimes we need nature. And so just offering up different ways that we can do this walk that might feel a little bit maddening or disorienting, and offering ways to really help us keep going. Because if we keep going, we're going to get to that space of unconditional love. Because unconditional love is for us in every moment, but when suffering, we can't feel it.
Awesome. This is really good. This is really good. Reverend Jennifer Comier, she's a grief coach. She has a Facebook group called Grief and Grace. It is private. You'll need to ask her, and then she'll approve you, and you can come in and be with like-minded individuals that are kind of going through similar situations. She also has a grief breakthrough session coming up this December. And you can join. And Jen, I'll have both links on your show page for you so people can find your bio and your information and be able to reach out and connect with you. Boy, that was a quick half hour. Anything in closing that you...
Already?
Yeah.
30 minutes?
Yes. Anything in closing that you'd like to add?
Yeah, just for those of you that are on Facebook, which many people are, a couple of the reasons why you might want to hop in, because I know some of us are just, you know, overflowing to the brim with social media. But the reason why I have this Grief and Grace Facebook group is really because we can have connection and community with other people that might be in similar, might be in a similar place. And when you go on to Grief and Grace, there, you know, you have to answer a few questions and I'll approve you to come in. But I've got a free gift on there called The Seven Gateways to Walk Your Grief with Grace. And that offers up, that explains a little more about what we started touching on today, about that perspective shift and giving some tools to move through life after experiencing loss. So that's in the group. That's one reason why you might want to join. And I also bring on guests and have interviews within the group, and folks are sharing their love stories. And I'm offering little mini virtual retreats that are just for the members of the Facebook group. So if you join, you'll get access to all of that, and it's all free in there.
I love it. That's great. And that's called Grief and Grace, and we'll have a link, and then if you want to work with Jennifer, you know, you can book a grief breakthrough session with her. And I'll put the link in for that as well. Reverend Jennifer Comier, thank you so much for coming on the show. Jennifer and I met through the Beautiful Dying Expo, which is coming up this November 13th through the 15th. And I'll put a link for the Beautiful Dying Expo too. That is just a virtual expo that deals with every facet surrounding ultimately where we're all going to go. We're all going to die. It's a matter of how and when. So I'm really grateful that the expo brought us together, Jennifer.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me, Jane. I really appreciate your heart and your time, and I'm sorry to hear about your classmates that have passed recently. My heart goes out to you and is with you in this time.
Thank you very much. That's a wrap for The Next Room. I will be back next week. Some really fun guests coming up. As a matter of fact, an old friend of mine who's a psychic medium from Los Angeles, who I have not spoken to in years. She did a segment with me when I worked in terrestrial radio on Kixie, and we did a really cool thing around Halloween, and she connected people with their loved ones that had crossed into the next room. And so I reached out to Marissa Ryan and said, Marissa, come back on the show, or come on the show. And she said, I'd love to. So that will be really, really super fun. I'm always up for the supernatural side of things and truly what is in the next room. So thanks so much for tuning in. I will speak with you again next week on The Next Room.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.